Good day, Petersburg. This is Crab Bait Radio News, a local special covering the issues you won't hear about anywhere else. Our motto is, if it ain't news, it's crab bait. I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
And I'm Joe Vicnicki.
And today on our program,
we'll have a preview of some of the format changes planned for KFSK Public Radio.
Also, Alaska voters may need to sharpen their Crayolas.
Counting raindrops in rain country.
New whale-watching regulations upset local whales.
Low escapement numbers on the River Styx, and the new high school bowling team had its first competition over the weekend.
All that, along with messages and weather, but first, the headlines.
From Alaska Statewide Radio, I'm Steve Heimel. In a move that's sure to upset all Alaskans, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council today approved a new regulation I don't like. It's not fair, it's too complicated, and it doesn't make a good headline, so we'll move on to other news. The southeast towns of Wrangell and Petersburg have agreed to form a borough. The new borough will be called Prangle. According to local officials, it will include all the territory between Dixon Entrance and Cape Fairweather, with the exception of the city of Kupernaugh. In related news, the city of Petersburg has signed a memorandum of misunderstanding with the State Department of taking things too seriously. Constance P. Wackerdoodle, department commissioner, says the MOM will ensure future misunderstandings between the state and the city for at least the next 5 years. The State Department of Transportation has hired a new manager for the Alaska Marine Highway System. He is Charon, a mythological ferryman from the River Styx. Charon has over 4,000 years of experience transferring passengers in the underworld for the Inter-Hades Ferry Authority. Charon expects his new job with the Alaska Marine Highway will be similar, but with better food. And the price of Arkansas pork bellies is down in Alaska spot market trading today from 9 3/4 to 7 3/8. This is ASR, Alaska Statewide Radio.
News programming on Alaska Statewide Radio is made possible by The Big Store, with all you need in furniture, electronics, and dental equipment. Now on the web at www.bigstore.com.www.org.gov. Also with support from Gargantuan Cruise Lines, no longer dumping effluents in southeast Alaska waters. Gargantuan Cruise Lines, from Ketchikan to Juneau, our passengers hold it.
Good day, this is Crab Bait Radio News, and I'm Joe Vicnicki. KFSK News is planning a number of changes to its local news format to provide more comprehensive coverage of the big issues facing Petersburg. We hope to radically renovate our local news programming to provide 24-hour, 7-day-a-week coverage of Petersburg's numerous councils, boards, commissions, committees, and informal gatherings. Our coverage will span the city of Petersburg, and we're calling the new news format P-SPAN. Tom Abbott is KFSK General Manager.
We plan to do away with all of our music programs entirely and go with all meetings all the time.
Listeners are used to hearing news from the city council, school board, and other high-profile groups. But there are many other boards and committees that listeners may be surprised to find out about. We have reporters stationed around the city. First off, we take you to a meeting of the Opportunities for Unforeseen Jobs and Industry Board, also called the Ouija Board.
Oh, great and powerful spirit, please visit us and show us the opportunities for future economic development in our community. Should we build a cold storage? Please give us a sign.
The room's getting colder.
From the Ouija board, we next take you to the board for surveying undercurrents, reefs, and fissures. The meeting of the surf board is taking place at a tasty little left break off of Hungry Point.
Yeah, you see that break? See how the wave actually breaks both ways? You can actually have one surfer going one way. You can have another surfer on the same wave.
But sir, it's blowing 50 out there.
What, do you want a surf or do you want a gut fish, sailor?
A surf, I guess.
Well, get out there.
Yes, sir.
I love the smell of fish guts in the morning. It smells like money.
Surfboard meets daily at dawn at an undisclosed location somewhere off the North Shore. And now to a meeting of the board for roasting, eating, and digesting. It's commonly known as the bread board.
Mmm, yeah.
Coming up later in the show, we'll bring you to the meetings of the Transition Commission and the Itty Bitty City Committee. But first, we go to Matt Lichtenstein reporting live outside a meeting of the cutting board.
You're fired, and you're fired.
But I don't work here. I work at the radio station.
You can leave your microphone at the door on your way out.
And we bring you now to late-breaking developments at the diving board. And a recently taped meeting of the Out of Commission.
Hello? Hello? Is this where the meeting is?
We'll bring you more of KFSK's news programming changes later in the show, but first, more news. Following complaints over the new closed primary system in Alaska, the Bureau of Elections, as well as several advocacy groups, have proposed changes to the statewide ballot. As Matt Lichtenstein reports, voters may need to get their crayons ready.
For the 20 or 30 Alaskans who went to the polls last August, it was a frustrating and confusing experience. Ephraim T. Packmeister of Petersburg.
I was frustrated and I was confused. I had to announce to the world that I was a member of the Communist Party, and then to find out they don't even have a ballot for me? What am I supposed to do?
Things might be a little different a couple of years from now. There are several proposals in the works to change the primary and general election ballots. One comes from the Bureau of Elections, which is considering an all-coloring book format for the next statewide primary, spokesperson Tina Fromage.
Well, it's really very easy. The primary ballot would have a sketch of each candidate, and all the voter has to do then is color in the candidate of their choice. You have to color in completely inside the lines, though, because, you know, the machine can't read messy coloring.
The state Supreme Court has already ruled that voters must use certain crayons for certain parties if this proposal goes through. Red for the Republicans, blue for the Democrats, and green for the Greens, and so on. If you are registered as an independent or undeclared voter, you would be able to use any color that you like as long as you share with other voters. However, your vote will not be counted if you use bad color combinations like burgundy and sand. If the proposal is approved, ballot propositions would also fall under the coloring book format.
Next to each ballot question, you'd get a smiley face and a sad face. You just color in the face that best represents the way you feel about that proposition.
Rather than handing out stickers saying, "I voted," under the new system, election judges would instead give voters stickers saying, "I love coloring." They'll also get a chocolate chip cookie and a small glass of apple juice as they leave the polls. The other proposal for changing the ballot comes from a new organization called CPLOPS, Citizens for Public and Loud Oration of Private Sentiments. Scott Scrapper is statewide chair.
What we say is, why bother with a ballot at all? You already have to declare what party you're voting for in the primary, so why not just get rid of the ballot and let voters yell out their candidates at the top of their lungs? The elections judges know how to write. Who needs to hide inside a voting booth? Be excited about your candidate. Say it loud. Say it proud. Let somebody else write it down. That's our proposal.
A third proposal is also in the works. Alaskans for a Quieter Atmosphere at the Polls, or AQUAP, has recommended an all-mime ballot in which voters would pantomime for the candidate of their choice. The state is expected to decide whether to implement any of the changes by the 2006 elections. This is Crabbait Radio, where it ain't news, it's crabbait. People joke about how much rain there is in Petersburg, but how much of the wet stuff is there really? We sent reporter Joe Vignicki to one of the wettest spots in Alaska's Little Norway to find out.
Hi, Matt. I'm standing here just underneath a storm drain on North Nordic Drive, where it appears there's a heck of a lot of rain falling right now. In just a moment, I'm hoping to start a count of the raindrops. But, Matt, I want to lie down on my back and look up at the sky so I can get a more accurate count of the raindrops. There, that's better. Now I can see. There's one, two, three, four, five.
Joe.
Six.
Joe. Excuse me, Joe.
There's one, seven.
Joe, excuse me. How can you possibly expect...
Eight.
Joe, how can you possibly expect to count all the raindrops? Isn't there a better way to do this?
17, Matt, 15. Matt, please, 16. Don't interrupt. Where was I? 15, I mean 16. 7, 21. So far, Matt, 22 raindrops in Petersburg. 23, 24...
We'll check in with Joe Vignicki, who's counting raindrops in Petersburg, again later in this broadcast.
The National Marine Fisheries Service this week announced new regulations that will restrict marine mammals from coming too close to passenger vessels. Local whales are upset, Matt Lichtenstein reports.
Recent complaints from Alaska visitors have prompted the National Underwater Marine Fisheries Investigative Service, or NUMFIS, to take action against whales and other marine mammals that have allegedly been harassing tourists. Maureen and Tim Plowback of Twin Canyons, Iowa, were on a charter fishing trip in Southeast when they say they were harassed by a humpback.
They were these big whales, and I started to take a picture when all of a sudden they jumped right next to the boat and we were soaking wet.
Yeah, and I think he gave us the middle flipper, too.
I could swear those little bastards were smiling.
Whales gesturing rudely, sea lions biting. It's incidents like these that have led to the proposed regulations which would restrict marine mammal access to passenger vessels. NUMFIS spokesperson Leslie Vimalone.
It'll be voluntary at first. Humpback and killer whales are being asked to stay at least 100 yards away from any vessel carrying tourists. Sea lions are asked to stay at least 50 feet away. It's really not much of a change. Most whales and other marine mammals are kind of shy anyway.
Not so, according to humpback whale Quasimodo, an 82,000-pound resident of Frederick Sound. Quasimodo says whales and other marine mammals love getting close to tourists, but they don't call it harassment. He says it's just a little game, and Modo's spitting mad about the new regulations. NUMFIS plans to open a public comment period on the proposed rule soon. In other news, sport fishing has been closed on the River Styx due to low escapement returns to the underworld. Apparently, fishery managers have counted only 25 souls of the damned this summer, well below the projected returns of 28 million. For this story, we go to reporter Joe Vignicki on the banks of the River Styx. Joe?
Matt, fisheries managers are telling me the number of damned souls is way down this year. I've been told it used to be a sin to swear and curse. Now it appears society is a little more accepting of people who swear and feel the need to use a curse word now and then. As a result, there are fewer souls returning right now on the Styx. And as an aside, it turns out, however, it is still a sin to covet your neighbor's wife, as this young man just found out. But it is not a sin for your neighbor's wife to covet your other neighbor. You know, that guy who comes and goes with nary a word to anybody, who thinks he's just Mr. But enough about that. Here's one local sport fisherman. Sir, your reaction to the sport fishing closure.
Damn you!
Matt, returns are expected to climb later this year as more corporate executives cash out on their stock options. In Hell, I'm Joe Vignicki.
KFSK realizes that today's listener is much more sophisticated, fast-paced, and smarter than the radio listener of yesteryear. Multitasking has become the word of the day, and through the magic of stereo, KFSK will now add multidimensional elements to our broadcast. Through this, we hope to win back listeners who are now accustomed to cable television's multi-screen approach. First, we'll bring you the comprehensive local coverage you've come to expect from KFSK News. Good afternoon. This is KFSK Public Radio Petersburg. I'm Matt Lichtenstein for local news. The City Council of Petersburg Tuesday passed a new ordinance prohibiting the passage of new ordinances. While councillors were somewhat reluctant to give up this power, several commented that it would certainly...
Then we'll bring you the headlines crawling across your speakers from left to right.
Petersburg named hub of Little Billy Johnson's enormous electric race car track. Elvis sighted near Baylor facility. Surfboard breaks up on unforeseen reef.
Then we'll split the screen, so to speak. On the right channel, it's just the business news.
Pastime Cafe up 3 3/8 to 9 1/4. Homestead down 2 1/2 to 41 3/8. Hack White's cleaning service.
And in the left channel, it's just sports.
In sports news, the North Dakota Nut Hens deck Central Louisiana State Stool Pigeons. Greater Suburban Sacramento Senators slew Upper Northeast Centralia and Eastern Evansville.
And on top of all that, we'll bring you cultural programming with some of our favorites from the music library.
Black dog population continues to increase.
maybe not. And now we check in with KFSK's Jovig Nicky, who's still trying to get a good survey of the number of raindrops there are in Petersburg today.
117, 118, 119. There's another 100.
We'll check back with Jovig Nicky later on in the broadcast.
We have a few corrections to yesterday's broadcast. In our story about the world's largest skunk cabbage leaf, we incorrectly stated the leaf was grown not far from Alaska's capital of Sitka. And Alaska's capital, as we all know, is in Anchorage. Also, we attributed this quotation,
"I want yous and all of your stuff out of here by 10 o'clock, no later,"
to kindergarten teacher Harriet Bumberhill. Bumberhill says she said no such thing. She in fact said, "Quiet time is coming up. Please put your coloring books away." We also reported 79-year-old Virgil Sandusky was found guilty of the murder of 35 people in 13 states. Due to a reporting error, it turns out Sandusky was only cited for a parking violation. KFSK regrets the error. And we humbly apologize for that crack we made yesterday about all the damn rain in this place. I mean, we like the rain. Otherwise, why would we live here with all this rain? And now back to the news.
Well, the seine season is about over in southeast Alaska, but many local fishermen are looking forward to next year when they can return to their favorite fishing spots. Amy Miller has this report.
It was a good year for seiners, especially those who fished in central southeast. Skipper Ariel Yeller says he was seeing jumpers everywhere.
Yeah, I fish just about every day off Point Gallbladder. Here it is on the map. You see that spot there? The fish come along the shoreline, and I hear just about every morning on that spot, and I'm waiting for them. Not only was I catching a lot of fish, I was getting a real good price at the dock.
Another skipper, Corky Chuther, says he had whole stretches of shoreline to himself.
Yeah. I went down over there to Armpit Cove. Here, let me show you where it is on the GPS. See that spot right there? Every day on that spot right there, the fish swim by all morning right on the surface. I had 20,000 pound sets all day long. And I couldn't believe what a good price I was getting. You want the coordinates again?
Meanwhile, fishery managers say they'll be opening some new areas to seining next year. With fish farms opening just south of the Alaska border, seiners will be targeting Atlantic salmon in southern southeast early next summer. For Crab Bait Radio, I'm Amy Miller.
This program is brought to you in part by Virgil Sandusky, reminding you not to call or stop by. Virgil Sandusky, I just want to be left alone. And the Big Boy Company. The Big Boy Company. We're big boys now, and we're not going to be pushed around. Also, the Coco Miller Foundation. Researching ways for dogs to get ahead in the world. Coco Miller. It's a dog-eat-dog world, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Let's check in with Joe Vignicki in downtown Petersburg. Joe.
1,431.
Joe.
1,432. Ow.
Do you have a final count, Joe?
1,433. Ow. Ow. 1,444. There's another 1,400.
The high school bowling team had their first competition of the season in Ketchikan last weekend. It's been difficult for the team to practice since there is no bowling alley in Petersburg, but coach Artie Candlepin seems pleased with the team's progress nonetheless. Joe Vignicki caught up with Candlepin on a midweek trip to Juneau, where there is a bowling alley.
Coach Candlepin, you had your first ever tournament this past weekend. How did it go for you?
Well, I'll tell you, Joe, it didn't go to... Excuse me. Damn cigarettes are killing me. Anyway, it didn't go too well. The kids, they didn't do too well. I had one kid was stuck behind the snack bar. They don't know how to bowl, Joe.
Did your seniors come together? Did they pick it up for you? Did they step up and help you out at all?
They came together in the parking lot. They were just kind of hanging out there. None of them seemed to want to bowl. Excuse me.
I understand the opponents who came to town were pretty good. Who was the team to beat at this tournament?
The team to beat at this tournament was us, because everyone seemed to be beating us. Over and over again, every game. every ball that got thrown was better than something that we did. I mean, the kids that we have on our team don't know how to bowl. I mean, if you want to have a bowling team, here's a suggestion. Just think about this for a second. Build a bowling alley in your town. Then you can have a bowling team.
Right, right. Coach, you had some players on your team who stood out, who were some pretty bright spots. So Coach, who stood out for you this weekend? Who was a good bowler this weekend?
There were no bright spots. There were no good bowlers. The only bright spot was when I got to leave the bowling alley and get a drink.
Coach, you had a long trip to get down to the bowling lanes. The kids were probably pretty tired that night. They were probably pretty tired.
Tired, you know, Joe. We got there 3 days before the meet, so that we could practice for this tournament. And the kids were practicing. They weren't tired. They had plenty of time to practice. They had plenty of time to sleep.
And this is a young team. They're still learning. They're still learning in the learning phases of bowling. They're still getting to know this sport. It's a new sport. They're just getting used to it, right?
There's no learning going on, Joe. I mean, there's nothing going on here. These kids don't know how to fucking bowl. The kids couldn't miss the gutters. If you're playing gutter bowling, then the kids would have played really well. None of these kids know how to bowl.
That's Petersburg's new bowling coach, Artie Candlepin. Next year, the school district plans to include bobsledding in its activity lineup as well. And now for the community calendar. The Petersburg Anti-Apathy Committee has canceled their noon meeting for tomorrow due to lack of quorum. The committee still is looking for new members, and if you'd like to be on the Anti-Apathy Committee, you could call and leave a message at 555-3808, and we may get back to you. And the Gone Fishing Commission will meet next Monday at Hoagie's Hole. The purpose of that meeting is a public hearing on whether pink pixies work better than purple egg-sucking leeches on late-run coho. The Ouija board will meet at midnight Friday in the secret tunnels under Singley Alley. The public is encouraged to attend, if you dare. Would you like to limit growth in Petersburg? Do you think the town is getting too big? Then please attend the first weekly meeting of the IBCC, the Itty Bitty City Committee. That's tonight at 5 in the City Council broom closet. Scratch posts and the evening crazies will top the agenda for this month's meeting of the Who's a Pretty Kitty Committee. It's a potluck, and all cats are encouraged to attend and bring a long piece of string and something to go with fish. The breadboard meets the third Thursday every month in Petersburg, and this week's agenda includes zoning restrictions on rye. And there are several animals up for adoption at the Humane Society. They include Tiki, an 18-month-old Siberian tiger. She's house-trained, declawed, and very good with children. There's also Pookie, a 2-year-old Indian elephant. Pookie needs a lot of attention and a loving home with high ceilings. Also, there's a gnu named Gary, a wombat named Willie, Larry the llama, and a 14-foot Brazilian python named Doug. And now here's Jovig Nicky with the weather.
1,047. 1 million. Ow! Ow, it's raining harder. 1,312,050. Ow, Matt, the raindrops are hurting my eyeballs. Ow, 1,312,000.
And that's it for this first edition of Crab Bait Radio, where if it ain't news, it's crab bait. The show was written and produced by Jovig Nicky and Matt Lichtenstein in the news studios of KFSK Public Radio Petersburg. We had additional voices by Amy Miller, Suzanne Fuqua, Tom Abbott, and Steve Heimel. All references are fictitious, and any resemblance to anyone who ever existed is purely coincidental, except for that part about the KFSK manager. Thanks for listening.